Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Tate tad brahma apurvam anaparam anantaram abahyam ayam atma brahma sarvanubhu ityanushasanam. This Brahman who is beyond cause and effect, who is transcendental beyond time, space, causation, that Brahman is apurvam. Apurva means there is nothing prior. Everything that you think of, the mind always says, what was before it? But here you have to understand, through your mind, you are trying to bring your attention to what is beyond your mind. So therefore, it is not an easy task. Everything that you bring to your mind becomes allegorical, cannot be taken literally. And even so, even though you cannot do that, yet there is no way to guide the mind to enlightenment. Mind has, for example, used the terms Satchidananda. Turn to Brahman. Who is Brahman? To the mind you say, he is Satchidananda. But what mind thinks of Sat, even in the best manner, is not, Sat is really far beyond. But mind thinks of Chit. But then, working upon this in satsanga environment, as illusions go on breaking, an awakening develops. It is that development of awakening is the subtle point that's called real progress in spirituality. It's like you are dreaming lots of dreams and there's no resolution. But awakening spirit starts and you begin to understand this is a dream. Nothing wrong can happen. Bal na baka kari sake. The dream cannot scratch even one of your hairs. That awakening, as it starts, dream, even while you are in dream no longer restricts you. It becomes a pleasant dream. And of course you wake up from it. That's the picture of Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. So that Brahman is apurvam, anaparam, nothing after Brahman. Brahman is not going to end and something else will come up. Anantaram, Brahman is not in between, having beginning and end, and in between somebody else comes in. Abahayam, no externality to Brahman. That Brahman is the Atma within you. This is Atma Brahman, the experiencer of all in every way. All your experiences through your senses, through your mind, through your concepts, through your intellect, all your experiences in every way are due to Brahman. Brahman is the enjoyer, the experiencer, the knower. Thus ends this teachings of Dadhyana Rishi, who is a Rishi in Atharva Veda. These teachings he had given to Ashwini Kumaras. They are the divine physicians. It's good for physicians.
Gurudev, I have a question. I was reading the Mysticism of the Ramayana book the other day, and I've got into the part, I passed the part where you say that Lord Vishnu reincarnated in Lord Rama and all his three brothers, and, you know, I don't understand. I can imagine that a god reincarnates in one person, but not in, like, four people at the same time, so.
Why, electricity incarnates through many bulbs.
Oh.
Yeah, one bulb is prominent. Huh? Many secondary bulbs. Incarnation means Brahman has given up his transcendental state. Once you have come into the relative world, you are dealing with variety of things. So therefore, incarnations, in Rama incarnation, Rama comes with four. Rama is the central, the others are attributes of Rama. They are like, just like a tree is there and there are branches in it. The tree is the basic avatara. The branches are part of the tree. They are also called avataras. But all together there is one tree avatara. Rama avatara is only one, having branches. Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, and so forth. Krishna avatara is again same thing. Krishna is one, but he comes with Balaram, another brother. And there are subtler meanings behind that. You have to go on reading in the book. Lakshmana represents mind, cosmic mind. And similarly, Shatrughna represents one who destroys impurities. Con paciencia. Go on reading.
Thank you, Swamiji. Thank you, Swamiji. My question, I have two questions. You said to awaken from the dream, and I've been meditating on that, but how can we awaken from the dream as long as there's pain? And it seems that pain is actually part of the material creation. Everything is suffering, like the Buddha said. That's question number one. And number two, I was reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam about how Lord Indra dishonored his spiritual master, and there was some kind of curse that was put on Lord Indra, and the reaction was so great. And he also, I think, killed a Brahmin or a Brahmin
demon. Take one thing at a time.
Okay.
Get back to your first one.
Well, this has to do with the first one. So the curse on Lord Indra was so great that he had to disseminate it over earth, and all of the women and trees and the earth absorbed the curse of Lord that fell upon Lord Indra as a result of his misdeeds.
All those are not to be taken literally. They are neither history nor literal teaching. They are completely allegorical, mystical.
So
same like the story of Adam and Eve. Why did Adam, why did Eve eat up, or whatever the story is? Just like those story of Adam and Eve, so are the stories of Indra and all those. They have subtler meaning. You may study our book, Mysticism of Srimad Bhagavad Puran. That will give you much insight. Never go after these stories. There is no Indra sitting up and driving the clouds to rain.
There's no beings controlling the weather, or no demigods controlling.
God controls all. There are no special political representatives.
But Shiva is one of the gods, and Indra is supposedly one of the gods.
Oh, that's, again, you are coming into the same relative world, where all these are symbolic, allegorical. Shiva is same as Rama, Rama is same as Brahma. All gods and goddesses, they are countless aspects of the same absolute.
But Shiva gives the powers to the evil demons. When they're performing austerities, he gives them boons. And Vishnu when is trying to fight Lord Shiva.
No, when you study the world and how does the energy operates through the world, the same energy that allows every little seed to grow also allows the earth to shake up, also fuels the mountains with volcanic eruption. But behind all that, there's a divine purpose. If you are living in daily life, so many of your cells are being destroyed. Mahabharata war is going on. Shiva is doing the work of removing toxics. Brahma is doing the work of creating it. Vishnu is patting them all down. When you describe it, descriptions become allegorical. But sometimes human mind cannot understand profound realities unless you use a limited way of expression. But all these parables, fables, and stories are given. They are not to be taken literally. However, they are interesting, can be kept in your mind, and you work upon it. Gradually, the meaning will ooze out of the stories, gradually under good guidance, but not take them literally. Otherwise, somebody's curse has been the cause of all the misery of the world.
Thank you. That's what I think, but thank you very much.
Swamiji, you spoke of Maitri, Mudita, and Karuna. What is the fourth
one? Fourth one is Upeksha.
Upeksha.
Upeksha means remain indifferent. Don't react. Just like you are facing a stone.
Could you briefly summarize the impurities and the purification on the levels of Mala, Vikshepa, and Avarana, especially Avarana?
Avarana is not impurity. Avarana is removed automatically. Think of blue sky. In order to see what's deep in space, telescopes are used. And telescopes, what do? They pierce the blue sky, speaking figuratively. Blue sky is not a reality, but it is something. Ignorance is very similar. Ignorance is not a reality. It is the limit to which your vision can operate. Your eyes can operate to a certain limit. Beyond that, you see blue sky. Similarly, your vision of understanding has a circle. It can remain in a certain sphere. Beyond that, mind interprets it as avidya, ignorance. All that I'm detailing upon is only to give you the idea that once enlightenment comes, once mala and vikshepa are removed, you don't wait to remove avarana. Avarana goes automatically.
Thank you.
It's also another way people explain that. Suppose there is a box. Inside the box, there is a luminous light. All that you need to do is to break the box and the light comes forth automatically. The other way around, the another possibility, you have some jewel in a box. You have to break the box and you have to have shed light in order to see what's in the box. Two things are needed, a light and something. In the world of relativity, you need two things, mind's function and soul's acting upon it. In realization, only one veil is to be removed, that's ignorance. And that automatically, the moment you break the limitation, self shines forth. Remove the cloud, the sun will shine forth. Okay. And with this, I will conclude. Om Shanti.